chapter 13, and the Lord, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. We don't even know her name. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, that drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat anything unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Now there's your first hint to who this guy is. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? And when they say, when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? The marginal reading is wonderful. There's the second key to who that is. So Manoah took a kid and a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up towards heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord also, he ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. Now that's a statement of faith in a sense, but it's very, very weak. It's a statement of unbelief. But the woman, being full of faith, said, But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, would he not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands? Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and of course his name was Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And we'll stop there. Our main text is going to be verse 23, but there's a few things that I noticed while we were reading through the narrative to get to that verse 23. And turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 for the first thought. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now, we'll just see what it says here. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9, and in part of verse 10. This is what this woman is what the Bible would say is a helpmeet for her husband. And it goes back and forth. Two believers united in becoming one in marriage, or however you want to phrase it, is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, this is the thought that I want to bring out in verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. If they fall. And Manoah is struggling. He's struggling. He doesn't quite see the end result. But his wife is there as his helpmate, what the scripture says, and she's encouraging him. We're going to die. And she says, no, we're not. And there's three reasons why. We'll get to that in a minute. This woman's faith is helping Manoah's unbelief, or his weak faith. But this also, I believe, is what the church, we are a family. This is what the church, this is what it, part of it means to gather together in his name. We've come into this place, we've gathered in his name to worship him. And we are at varying degrees of our life, we're at varying degrees of our walk in faith, some new birth, some old birth in the Lord, but none without trouble. None without trouble, none without hardships. And just as the husband and wife is a beautiful picture of being one in Christ, we're all one in Christ. And we have the same motive, the same desire, the same glory, the desire to glorify him. So I just take this opportunity, just as two is better than one, because if one falls, then the other can help him up. It's selflessness. That is a picture of the church. And that's why we're here. Because you may have a good friend outside the church, and he may encourage you this and that, but he cannot, if he doesn't know the gospel, it's not the same thing. They don't completely understand what you're going through. That's the first thing. The second thing, I'm going to pick on you parents again. Verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And again in verse 12. And Manoah now, he said, let thy words come to pass, how we should order the child and how we should do unto him, raising up the child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's what they're going to do. Okay, and then Manoah set aside, or Samson set aside, he's a Nazarite. Okay, it's different. But on the other hand, it is not different. Parents, we are asking our God how we are to raise our children. We do that. That's what we do. If we're believers, we ask the Lord. Now, I know they want to do this, and different things go. All different things going on that makes up a family. We're a family unit. There's no question about that. However, the most important thing, which Mary chose, is to sit at the feet of Christ and listen to what he said. But he's asking this person how we may order. We want to make sure that we do what we can. Because one day, and Roland and I know this, one day the child's going to grow up and find somebody, marry, and they may move away. However, we do not beat up ourselves at all, because we believe we could have done more. We understand that, but we had done what we thought we should do. And you know what? God is sovereign, so we leave it there. But she had godly instruction. And she knew where she was supposed to be, because that's where we were at. So that's the second thing. The third thing, and I mentioned that this angel is none other than Christ. In verse 18 and verse 20, I am, and his name is secret, wonderful. Christ is, he's not only our sacrifice, But you noticed how in verse 20, it came to pass when the flame went up towards heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. In the flame. Now, not only is Christ our sacrifice, but he takes that sacrifice and makes it a sweet-smelling savior to God. He is not only the fire shows the wrath of God, but he was in that flame. He took the wrath of God for us. So there's the third note. And the last thing, as I made comment, we've got weak faith going on here and strong faith. I think it's interesting that, as the scripture says, the woman is the weaker vessel. She is definitely the weaker vessel, but she was the stronger in faith here. So don't ever, believing women are not second-class citizens. I really get it. It gets because of our previous situation. To somebody speaking down to a believing woman like they don't know anything, if they have the same grace as men, the ground is level at the cross. I understand women are supposed to submit and husbands are supposed to love and all these different things. And I understand that out of the New Testament. But value your wife, value your friendship. As we go back to the church situation, value whether it's a woman or not, if they have faith, they're, what they have to say, if it's in faith, is valuable. So these are, as a matter of fact, Christ made a comment in the New Testament, woman, great is thy faith. I don't know if he made a comment with that man at one time, but woman, great is thy faith. Now, let us see the truths and the promises that this woman trusted in as they correlate to Christ, the believer's sacrifice, the believer's altar, and acceptance before a thrice holy God. Three things. Manoah said, we're going to die. And she said, no, we're not. And here's why. So somebody says you're going to die and you've got no hope. Based on this, the only hope the only thing that we've got between us and death is Christ. And when I read this, I thought, wow, that's her first thing. So she starts off with Christ. And then she goes to the things he showed, and then he goes to the things that he told. So if you don't start with Christ, anything in this book, it doesn't make sense. And it may not be for you. You may not be. But if you start with Christ, if you look to him and live, then what he tells you and what he shows you out of this book, it's just icing on the cake. It's just a benefit. Bless the Lord for all his benefits towards us. Okay, so he says, we're going to die. And she says, we will not die or be destroyed for God would have not received the offering. The enlightened, first of all, the enlightened and redeemed soul must confess, this offering is the true thing between me and death. That's the only thing we've got. We, as blood-bought sinners, know that if God does not accept or receive Christ Jesus on our behalf, we will perish under God's fury and God's wrath. But blessed be God, where there is remissions of sins, there is the sacrifice of the great martyr lamb. We don't have to turn to Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We know that. We know that. For he, Christ, by himself, paid our debt and is now on God's right hand in glory. Hebrews 9:11-14. We know that to be so. Manoah's wife, she knew that. She said, he received the sacrifice. That's that song that we sing, Be of Sin the Double Cure. You know, he laid all the wrath upon Christ and he gave us his righteousness. You've got to have both of them. And as I've said over the years, I don't know if I... But anyway, you've got to have the lack of the negative, but you have to have the presence of the positive. Sin's got to be taken care of. But if sin is removed, we're just like that strong man in the house. After it's swept and clean, then devils come in and make it worse. You've got to have sins forgiven, but you have to have something in that place. The new creature, the new man, that's Christ's righteousness. God will accept us. And she said, would he not... if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and the meat offering. he received it. That means satisfied. That means what Christ cried on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. Sin put away, righteousness had. Now we have a mansion in glory. We have a room prepared, preordained, predestined for us. So, as I said, the fire. We know that the offering was accepted and the ransom was paid for our life. The fire, verse 20, ascending up is God's wrath being meted out and God's wrath being turned away from us. The fire, and the angel was in the fire, so Christ was consumed by the fire in a sense, but it ascended up into heaven. It didn't come and then, like those false prophets, or that fire came down from heaven to wipe them all out. That fire was taken away from Manoah and his wife. And they sat there and they looked on. In verse 19, and Manoah and his wife looked on. They saw what was going on. And the fact that they were still standing should have told Manoah something. We're not going to die. We're not going to die. But she saw, through by the grace of God, she saw the substitute. And the fire leaving them, not consuming them. That's the beautiful picture. Secondly, her argument is, neither would he have showed us all these things. Now, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. During this time, what's going on? Well, first of all, the children of Israel did evil, and he delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. 40 years of warfare, bondage, etc., etc. But even worse than that, see, our economy can go south pretty quick, and we can struggle. We have to sell this building. All these things could happen. I mean, they could. War, nuclear war, Korean War. I mean, all these things could happen. But what's worse than that? There's something worse than that, and that's there's no vision. There's no vision. And that's exactly what was going on. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Isn't it? It's kind of like that here today in this country, isn't it? I mean, really? Is precious? That's one thing that's precious in those days. The word of the Lord, and we could look at what else is precious. David Pledger, was it four or five things? The word of the Lord is precious to those who believe. He's precious, but the word is precious because there was no open vision. It's like the historically we talk about the Dark Ages. You know, God was always moving. He's always had a people, but it wasn't as noticeable. And that's what's going on here. They're under bondage. They're in warfare. Delivered them into the hands of the Philistine 40 years. So all this trouble is going on. And yet, she said, first of all, God received a sacrifice. Secondly, he spoke to us. Every elect child of grace has a direct link to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That, and I know that's today it's like, well, you know, he loves everybody. No, that's resting the scriptures to their own destruction. This is how precious the gospel is in any day, in any age. Such grand and wonderful truths, for there was no open vision at this time. Yet God has spoken to us through his Son, through this sacrifice, and to them, and we may now approach the throne of grace boldly. Why would our God show to us through this book and be kind and gracious to us and then turn his back on us? See, this is how a believer reasons, how he thinks when things get tough. I've been reading a lot of Spurgeon, and he said, when the clouds are in the sky and you can't see the sun, you still know the sun is there. And that's what we need to do. We need to encourage ourselves and say, God, you've been gracious to me before. you'll be gracious again. And that's in any situation, whether it's physical, mainly spiritual, but physical, anything that the Lord that brings us our way. We need to see that just like Manoah's wife, neither would he have shown us all these things presently. Oh, this will get us through dark and foreboding times of woe, pressure, trial, etc. He has shown us in this marvelous book and the inspired book that Christ came to seek and to save sinners, and I am a sinner in need of grace and truth. He came to seek and to save sinners, Matthew 1. He's going to say, I'm a sinner. Then he came to save me. You just don't argue these things. You just say, and there's an article I got by Henry in the book that I think it's fantastic. And I highlighted, he said, who has made us the guardians of whatever, the truth or whatever? Because people say, well, you got to do this and all this other kind of stuff. And what we were talking about before church, how much knowledge you got to have. Are you a sinner? Do you believe on Christ? Well, that's the word. He that believeth on me has everlasting life. Now we need to tell who he is and not lie about him. But that is the bare, naked word of God. Not me putting a little additional this and that on it. No. Christ came to seek and to save sinners. Believe on the name of Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do not doubt him, my brethren. When everything is stripped away, when we're laying on our bed full of sores like Job, what did he say? I know the doctrine. I know my family. Now he could have questioned his wife whether she loved him or not, the way she was just curse God and die. So sometimes our friends, and even brethren, we're weak. You know what? You need to be rethinking about what you're doing. When all comes said and done, when we're on our back, I know my Redeemer lives. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. This is a personal, and this is what Manoah's wife sees. I'm sure I'd have been freaked out and go, we're going to die now. I'm sure that's weak faith. Obviously, he had faith because when he petitioned to the Lord, entreated to the Lord heard him. If he was going to kill us, why did he receive the burnt offering and the meat offering at our hands? Caleb, you have to believe. The offering isn't just going to go to the altar. Well, it's all sovereign grace. It is. But we believe. That's not a work. That's a grace. We believe because we're the sinners. But it's all been given to us from before the foundation of the world. So when things get tough and get trouble, and he starts stripping away your good works, supposed good works. Well, I really love my wife. That's my wife. That's selfish. I love my children. They're your children. That's selfish too. When you start really questioning whether you know him or not, and believe me, I have and you will, why has he made this his word and his, why has he made this precious to me? We're not talking about feelings, because feelings come and feelings go. But based on the word of God, sing a hymn. I see y'all come in. And the fellowship and the unity and the gospel and all these things. Why has that been so precious? Why has he made this so precious to us? To just leave us? Has it all been a lie? Oh, believe me, I don't know how many, it's been a year or so ago, I started thinking like Stephen Hawking, like really foolish, and thinking I know something and I'm wise. And I start thinking, creation? Really? Really? Because I'll tell somebody, an unbeliever, a story, and they're looking at you like it's a fairy tale. And then I kind of got to thinking, well, that's just kind of hard to believe.
Obviously, because it can't be seen. And you start questioning and doubting. And then you realize you're nothing, absolutely nothing without Him.
Sink or swim, we'll trust in Him. The third argument she uses, she says, nor would as at this time, which refers to the fact that there's no vision, have told us such things as this. He would have not told us such things if we were going to die. If we were going to die in reprobation. He has told us through His truth, through His gospel, His exceeding great and precious promises, how He thinks about His people. He delights. That Matt stopped in Proverbs chapter 8, but the very next verse, what does it say? His delights were with the sons of men.
Me?
Me? Such a vile, corrupt, often unbelieving wretch. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. We're going to change those words. A wretch like me. And that's why I was singing that last hymn. I just couldn't get through that last chorus. In the arms of Jesus are 10,000 charms. And if the Lord takes me today, if the Lord takes Melinda, whatever His will purpose is for us, what a joy it's been. What a joy it's been. To see you young adults, to raise these children, isn't it a little thing that could hardly roll over and move around, and now they're running around and they're kicking balls and they're running around the church and dancing and doing all this stuff. I hate to sound like a movie, but seize the day. Today the Lord hath made. And rejoice in what He has done and the fact that He's even revealed Himself to us. Manoah's like, the sky's falling. We're going to die. And she's like, I've got peace that passes all understanding. And I know this may sound weird to you, my lovely husband, but we're not going to die. Because He received the offering, and that offering pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. He's accepted it, and the fire went up, it didn't come down. And He's shown us wonderful things out of His word. And that's one thing the Israelites did. They recounted the blessings. Don't you think? Linda and I, we've often wondered, those stones that they stacked when they crossed over the River Jordan, they stacked those stones up on one side? When they got on the other, they stacked them on the other side? I wonder if those stones are still there. I'd go see that. I wouldn't say, oh, I'm going to the Holy Land and make a big deal. But the historical and the scriptural perspective, it'd be nice to see if those things were still there. Because the Israelites, they were really good about telling their children and children's children, like Timothy, his mom Chloe and grandmother Eunice taught him from a holy child, or the holy scriptures from a child. They made sure that those children knew what they had was from God's hand. They understood the grace of God. Things not luck, and it's not how good you are at this, how good you are at that, because by the time everything averages out, we're just average. But they told them the most important things. The grace of God, the sacrifice, and how He has revealed Himself to them and how He told them. Now, I'm not saying God, now He spoke to them. He doesn't speak to us. But He speaks through His word. As Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The scriptures, they weren't complete then. They're complete now. We don't need to add anything to them. He promises us of salvation by His blood, Matthew chapter 1. He promises of comfort by His Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. Promises to continued grace by faith in Ephesians. He promises of help in time of need, Hebrews. And promises of love in our hour of wantonness, 1 John. And He promises of keeping power in the season of doubt in Jude. Oh, flee to Him and find peace, and that peace will pass all understanding through grace. But his wife told her husband, let's walk together. Where two or more are agreed, they can walk together. We've been walking together. Don't let your unbelief, don't let your lack of faith. Come on. Come on, Manoah. I love you, and I want to be with you. He's not going to kill us. The Lord, because he has been pleased to receive the burnt offering and the meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time of no vision, would he have told us such things, wonderful things, because his name is wonderful, as these. Oh, and the woman bare a son. It's got to be. Christ promised, it's going to be fulfilled. That's why I didn't read. And the woman bare a son. You betcha. Now let me close with reading Matthew Henry, his thoughts on this last verse, last part of this verse. And I think this is good. Let us learn to reason as Manoah's wife did. He's given us a mind. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. It's got to be assimilated. We think about these things. We chew the cud. We muse. The word muse is that, you know, we think about these things. We don't just set it down. We're not like that man who looks himself in the mirror and instantly walks away and forgets. Go over the message. Take notes. Whatever you need to do to help your mind, because we're all different. But go over and over and see the testament. This is for you, for me. This is his testament in his blood. Learn to reason as Manoah's wife did. If God had designed me to perish under his wrath, he would not have given such distinguishing tokens of his favor. That's what Matthew Henry said. And I've got underlined, distinguishing tokens of his favor. What does that sound like? Sovereign grace. Isn't that right? I just said, that's sovereign grace. Distinguishing tokens of his favor, unmerited favor. That's grace. Sovereign grace. That sounds like sovereign grace. And that's how he saves, and that's who he is. Amen. And amen. Bruce, would you close this, please?